What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another great episode of The Stoop, where we talk hoops, hoops, and more hoops. I'm your guy, TJ, man. Thank you so much and salute to everybody that's showing support. Man, I can't tell y'all, it feels real good to read y'all messages and staying with us and watching us through this grind, man, so we really do appreciate you. Right now, we want to introduce and take time to thank our special sponsors that we have. First and foremost, 24/7 Hoop. Shout out to my guy, Dave, and all the great folks at 24/7 Hoop. You see the official ball. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, as the world opens up, you need a sponsored ball for your church league, your AAU tournament, your league, whatever you got going on, outside, indoor, they got you, man. Get your first customized ball from those guys at 24/7. Salute to you, Dave. Thank you so much. Next, and certainly not least, we got to make sure we shout out our good friends at Yave Tequila. That's right, Yave Tequila. As we touching this summer now, make sure you get you something good to drink. You get your friends back over to your house. You get your family back over to your house. Get that plane going on. Get that habanero going on. Get that mango going on. Make sure you got some ice because it's hot outside. And tell them TJ and Kev sent you, all right? Got to introduce my player partner, my brother from another, Kev P. Say what's up to the people, Kev.
It's always a pleasure to be here, brother.
Kev P., let me start this off like this, man. He a Geechee. He understand what that means. You from that Charleston side of town. You know what I'm saying? My peoples is from Carolina, so they know about that Geechee talk. Listen, man, he's had a great, extraordinary collegiate career, all ACC as a Wolfpack member. He's had an almost professional career that expanded 2 decades, including being a two-time world champion with the Lakers. In addition, he's also spent time on the sideline. And now you can see him as a formidable force in the Big Three. Ladies and gentlemen, our esteemed special guest tonight on the stoop is Mr. Josh Powell. Mr. Powell, thank you so much for pulling up with us, brothers. Thank you, King.
Hey, bro, man, real tears, dog.
So, the Geechee piece? Yes. Yeah, hey, only Carolina folks know about that Geechee rice all night. I had rice for every meal, brother. Let me tell you something. Shout out my pops, man. Shout out Florence, shout out Manning, shout out Charleston. Them South Carolina folks, man.
Hey, man. Got to go ahead and plug, man. You know, representing, man. That's my dad's side of the family, actually. Yeah. It's kind of crazy, but I got to shout out my cousin too, Chris Middleton. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So we all you know, my dad's side rather. So I just give love, man. But real quick, man, I want to make sure I do my due diligence and give both of y'all your flowers, man. Keep doing what y'all doing, man. I'm very humble. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why people choose me, but I am humbled, you know, to be able to have the opportunity to share a little bit about myself. So thank you, both fellas.
Absolutely. You have an extraordinary journey, and we appreciate you giving the flowers, and we're going to get into that. First and foremost, Mr. Powell, who first put the basketball in your hand?
To be honest, man, I actually so I started off playing football and baseball. Okay. And going to support my mom, who was a hooper. Both of my parents actually played sports, and my dad played all three. And from the legends say, he was a monster back in the day.
Gotcha.
But my mom used to play in a little women's league back in College Park, and I used to just go watch her play. You know what I'm saying? So I really wasn't thinking about nothing about basketball, man. Everything was football, baseball. That was what I loved, at least what I thought I did growing up. Uh-huh. And watching her play, and then I had a coach who came and was like, hey, man, bring your big tail out here and come hoop for a little bit. Man, I didn't know what I was doing. So it was just all fun, you know what I'm saying? And I would like to thank her and a combination of him, and then actually watching my very first basketball game, I was introduced to the Houston Rockets with who I feel is my GOAT, Hakeem Olajuwon, in which I immediately fell in love with the game. And I was like, whoa, what is this? You know what I'm saying? So I think a combination of all three, man, you know, is what made me turn that corner.
Definitely. So you turned that corner. So around what age or grade did you realize, man, I might be able to do something with the Rock. I might be able to do something long-term in terms of a playing career.
As far as that, not until my sophomore year in high school.
Okay.
Being real with you, as far as that. And initially, my first thoughts was, I can go to school for free. I wasn't even thinking like pro or career or anything like that. So, you know, it was just like these little steps, man. And the more I played, the more I showed up at All-American camps, the more I played in the AAU circuit, and I was just like, man, I could really do something with this. Confidence kept growing.
Definitely. Go ahead, Kev.
I just want to piggyback off of that for 1 second and ask, is there a particular incident, a particular game, anything that really stood out in your mind's eye that says, you know, this was it, that was the thing that kind of marked and said, yeah, I'm ready?
So I went to, I had a pretty strong summer end of my sophomore year going into my junior season. And my first week back in high school, it was because that year, I think I averaged like 25 and 15 that year, but it was like out the gate. It was like 30 piece, 40 piece.
Right.
And it didn't matter who. I was already an undersized five because I'm 6'9". So, you know, considering everybody's like 6'11", seven, you know what I'm saying? Or they might be my height, but they might be like 250, you know, back then, you know what I'm saying? So back then, bro, we high school kids, man, that's a big old joker. When I'm 6'9" and I'm 185.
Right.
So I just been used to battling against guys way bigger and all of that kind of stuff, man. But it was like, when I came back to Georgia after that summer, I was so dialed in. I was like, man, I really think I could do something. It didn't dawn on me in the AAU part of the camp or the summer camp part. It was when I got back to high school, and it was like watching everything come together. It was like, whoa, like, right, this is crazy. So yeah, that's when I really started feeling like, okay, we got something here.
Okay.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. You've played for two NBA teams that went to the finals. One of them being the Mavs here. And then
we're going to talk about the controversial.
And then, of course, you know, you won a couple in 09 and 2010 with the Lakers.
Yeah.
If I may ask, what are the glaring differences in those two teams as well as their leaders with Dirk and Kobe's approach?
Well, at that time, I mean, we still talking about two killers. They just do it differently.
Yeah.
But at that time, when that year we was with the Mavs, well, both years actually, man, the chemistry, the brotherhood was crazy. You know what I'm saying? Those are the things that make for playoff championship contending teams, man. Like, you can't put that on a stat sheet when guys are coming together, like, and really understanding roles, chemistry, who does what. Like, you can't beat that, man, with a stick. So from that standpoint, a lot of similarities. The difference from the Dallas side versus the Lakers side was, even though we were confident, we hadn't been there. So it was kind of like one of those, like, we got to lean on somebody, but we ain't really been in that position type situations.
Right.
Man, them seasons with the Lakers, man, it was, the mentality was, we finna kick y'all ass. Like, we coming in to do what we do. We ain't thinking about regular season.
If I'm not mistaken, that 06 team, with the exception of Keith Van Horn, none of you guys had any of that experience, correct?
Not to my knowledge, no. I don't think anybody. I think Keith was the only one, because him and obviously Avery, you know what I'm saying? But
right.
Other than that, I don't think so. And I think Dale and some of the, you know, the other coaches been there before. But yeah, I don't think anybody.
I meant as the players, though.
Yeah. I'm just thinking as a whole, that, you know, just kind of see like where we fell short. I don't think we were there. But you know, the other crazy part is, like, even though we hadn't been there, it was no way Miami was supposed to beat us either. We had a better team. I don't give a fuck they asked. I don't care. There's no disrespect to who they had. Like, we had a better team. I feel we had a better team.
On paper, y'all was real tough. Y'all was real more well-rounded and deeper.
Yeah.
Y'all were super deep.
For sure.
Y'all was way deeper.
For sure. So, you know, from that aspect, man, it was like, even though a lot of things were new, it still shouldn't have made a difference, because think about this, man. Look at what we went through in that San Antonio series. Mm. That was like championship. That was our championship run right there. And that's why I feel like we shouldn't have folded the way we did in the finals.
Facts.
Like, we dusted and got Memphis out of there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then we went 7 with the Spurs And the way we took game seven in their house, you feel me? Like, nah, bro, it wasn't supposed to go down like that, man. That shit bothers me, man. That shit still stings a little bit to this.
You can look at your face right now. You flash back. Like, he just caught a moment with us, man.
That's a real competitor, though, that these things never go away. Like, he got two, and he's still worried about what he didn't get.
Supposed to be three, because especially not like that, bro. Like, the wins that, like, you can accept when a team is better. Uh-huh. Right. I think you can genuinely be like, all right, they got us. Like, they were the better team, cool. When you have the hardware on, like, right here on the finger, you know what I'm saying? Like, the first two wins, it slid to right here, and then it was like game three, fourth quarter, up 15, 3 minutes and some change to go. That's how fresh it is on my mind. Like, it's right here, and to see that shit happen the way that it did, boy, that shit was so gangster what the league pulled off. I don't even want
to. Oh, man. Not one.
I'm going to keep it funky, though.
Not two. Yeah. Not I'm going to keep it
funky, man.
Not four. Yeah, so, okay.
That shit was funky what the league did, boy.
So
tell you this big business, bro, it's big business. I'm just going to leave it at that, man. Dang.
You know, you won't hear too many arguments from that.
Not from us. We on the stoop. Yeah. We going to keep it to the block. We understand how this go. So let's talk about, we're going to talk OG talk right now, Mr. Powell. The average age of a team in the league right now is 28 and some change. We've seen the last couple of years that OGs like Udonis, UD has kept Miami. Unfortunately, this season wasn't so strong, but the last two seasons, nonetheless, they've still been in the playoffs. The question I have for you is, are there placements still for good vets on teams for roles? Because we've seen a lot of cats not have homes this year. You know, Tyson Chandler probably can still get busy. Deion Waiters could probably still get mad. Shump, Jamal Crawford, the list goes on. How do you feel about the reason why or why the league still is just not accepting vets like they once did in the past?
Well, first of all, man, it's the people in front of office, man. We got to get more hoopers on deck. Because the thing that they got to understand is, man, that balance, when you have guys that are willing to accept roles. See, the other part of it is, too, yeah, those guys can still play at a high clip, but what type of energy are they going to bring? Are they going to be okay with not playing? See, that's the other part of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we looking at guys who are like, man, he can come off the bench, give you 10 to 15 minutes and be solid, da da da. But what happens if he don't play? Are you gonna cheer guys on? Like, are you gonna be a real vet? Are you gonna break clipboards and do the shit that UD is doing? Because I mean, shit, UD is the last of the dying breed. I'm trying to think of what other teams, because now it seems like the OGs are coaching. You know what I'm saying? So I'm at least happy to see that guys are in position where they can be player development or assistant coaches and connect with the guys like that. So I love that part of it. That's important too. So even if you're not going to have them on your roster, have them in play so they can be in them guys' ears, man, because they've been there, done that. You know what I'm saying? And and even guys who've been in the league 5-6 years, you still need a guy, 10-year, 12-year guy that – tell you what time it is, man. You still see guys in year 8, 9, 10 folding. We don't call no names, but you know, it's still some guys out here still battling with that pressure. Mm-hmm. Everybody ain't built for that, bro. Mm-hmm. I said what I said. You know what I'm saying? It ain't no disrespect, but I've seen the guys who can be front runners when it's all good. But what happens, you know what I'm saying, when that pressure comes and you need a big play or you need a big defensive stop or you gotta make a big shot? It's not for everybody. You know what I mean? It's not for everybody, bro. Even if it ain't about making it. It's just about the fact of taking it. It's about the fact of doing the right shit and just being in a position where you're gonna boss up and make that play, man. So that's the part of having older guys to bring all that together. So, it, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't make God, like, it, at the end of the day, it's just a game. Like, you know what I'm saying? We got to remove that pressure, enjoy the moment. You feel right. what I'm saying? Definitely. So, you when you got guys who've been there, done that, been in the league for a long time, that don't mind cheering the team on, standing up, telling guys what they need to hear, man, there's so much value in that. It doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but look at how much, you know what I'm saying, pub that UD is getting because he's that type of guy. Right. It's needed, bro. It's definitely, needed. Definitely. Every team, you got to look at that shit like a marriage. You feel me? You're going to go through ups and downs, real talk. You're going to go through ups and downs. You're going to have challenges. You're going to have shit. Something going to happen where, you know, guy get injured or whatever. You feel me? Like, you got to have somebody to be like, bro, it's going to be all right. You know what I'm saying? Just like in your marriage, bro, you might go through some time, bro. You might have to, you know, separate for a little bit. You feel me? But you get, when that time comes, you need somebody to be like, hey, man, it's cool. It yeah.
I got to step up. So to go off of what you just said, the Lakers are gone thus far in the playoffs. Clippers survived today, as you may or may not have seen, but they managed to squeak by Dallas and pull it out. You and LO are in rare company, two players that managed to play for both franchises, and even more rare company when we consider that you both were able to get chipped. But the question I have for you, and piggybacking off of what you just said, as it currently stands, do these Clippers have a legitimate shot? Because they've taken some criticism for the same thing you just said, being able to stand up, make these shots. My man said, listen, I'm not even going to finish the question. Go ahead and answer that for me, bro.
The reason why I feel they're going to have a rough time is not because of the players. It's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, they got a really good group, like, talented group. They got winners on that team. So I'm not disrespecting them.
Right.
The aura of that franchise will not allow them to be great, bro.
Ooh. Okay. Speak on that, because you know firsthand.
All that stuff that happened with the last owner, just the history behind it, bro. Even prior to him, you know what I'm saying? They've just been one of those franchises in the shadows of another. And then you share a building. You know what I'm saying? Like, the respect level ain't the same in the city. It's just a lot of things that come with that. Even if they win a championship, bro, people ain't gonna respect them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they really don't fuck with the Clippers, dog, in LA, like, straight up.
Is it true like they the real, like, the only sports franchise that people still consider a JV team? Let's be clear.
They disrespect. And it's like, I get it. I've been on both sides of it. Mm-hmm. So I get it. But just from that standpoint, it's like they're never respected, bro. Like, and it's unfortunate. And they can have all the talent in the world, man. And it's just like people gonna look past them, like, whatever. Mm. But to take it a step further, we ain't even gonna talk about that part. That stuff that I can't remember the owner's name right now. Jesus.
Donald Sterling,
bro. Cause I was there and I witnessed some of the commentary live myself, seeing some of the things that I saw the year that I was there. And I was grateful for that year. And here's why. Well, for one, it's unfortunate. But we had so many injuries, bro. We were down to seven guys, bro. That's all we had.
Wow.
Because we had that many injuries. So I'm thankful for that organization because they are the only organization in which I had a chance to really rock without getting subbed, without nothing, bro. And when I have that type of opportunity, bro, it's a different ballgame. You know what I'm saying? So I'm grateful because I was able to show I can put up numbers. I can play in big moments. I can play, you know, long extended periods of time without getting tired. Like, I think my career high for minutes was 51. I was able to get some double-doubles. Like, that job is what helped me get the Lakers job because every time I showed up against the Lakers and they let me play, it was double-doubles.
Uh-huh.
Like 12-10, 14-10, like solid joints coming off the bench and getting finishing the game.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful from that standpoint. But there's something going on with that organization, man. And if you look at it, right, think of the last team that they had that was crazy. I mean, you talking about Blake, DeAndre,
Chris Paul.
They had Caron Butler there. They had motherfucking Lamar was there at one point in time. Lou Will was there. They had they had Jamal Crawford, bro. They had Eric Bledsoe.
They had a lot of pieces.
They had Matt Barnes, bro. Like they had like, come on, man, for that 6-year stint, they
JJ
had some
Reddick.
Boys. They had some boys there. They JJ had Reddick some. They had yes, bro. DJ, no, I'm talking like, about
the roster was deep.
I'm talking about 9-10 guys solid.
Yeah.
That play, and that they play. Still had some more folks on the bench ready. Mike Taylor, wasn't Mike Taylor there?
Yeah, he was there too for a minute. Yes.
Man, listen, man, I'm just saying it like this, bro. They had guys there, and then all of a sudden it was injuries. All of a sudden it was something with this one. All of a sudden it was something with that one.
Like, it was a real situation.
Bro, listen, and the crazy part was, and I was with the Rockets team that came back and dusted mm-hmm. them off, and they gave up the 3-1 lead.
Yeah.
Like, when I tell you, bro, they are the definition of can't get right. And I'm, like that's what I'm saying, bro. Like they, I'm not. I don't know disrespect. It's just it is what it is. And am I lying? Can y'all go back years and years? And
it's all facts.
It's just
go back
something
as far as you want. And they've always managed to get great players at some point in there. I mean, Elton Brand was there. We've seen a lot of guys come through them for whatever reason.
Q and Miles is definitely in the building too.
The original Lob City, bro. Like, that was back when boys was wild.
Yeah. So, Mr. Powell, let's talk about that, because my next question for you is like this. You know, you've had a great career, you know, like I said, domestically and overseas, almost two decades plus being on the sideline. If you had to facilitate a team being front office specialist, we looked at what Pop has done in San Antonio. We looked at what Sam Presti was doing in OKC for a number of years, you know, going through the draft. Personally, your opinion, is it better to cultivate a team through the draft, take your lows, trust the process, or go out and round out 40,000 top players and try to build a super team through free agency? What's your verdict on that?
Honestly, man, because we've seen it work both ways. I just think it depends on, from a business standpoint, what the franchises are on, honestly.
Okay.
Because you got some franchises who are like, all right, we've been there, done that. We're going to start over. You know what I'm saying? And that's a painful process, bro. It can be hit or miss. But if they're willing to go through the highs and lows, I'm not mad at it. You know why? Because you can get some fresh guys in there and they can grow together and you never know what that's going to look like. I mean, look at the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, quiet as kept. You know what I'm saying? They've been one of those young teams, and for the most part, they kept a core and really, shit, I don't really think, let me take that back, because, well, they stuck together for like at least 4 or 5 years. Now it's just been Chris and Giannis. But to your point, Philly was another one of those teams who trusted it, right? Now with the coaching change, added pieces, they have a solid core. OKC was always up there, man. And it's crazy because even when they got rid of everybody, man, one guy still kept them afloat. So I think you can do it both ways. For me, I wouldn't necessarily get the super team. I think it would be a balance. I definitely would have two dogs for sure and build some solid pieces around those two dogs. And I'm gonna need guys with chips on their shoulders, some shooters. Have to have at least two more additional playmakers. You know what I'm saying? Like people that have high IQ. And listen, you may not have a team full of Kawhi Leonards, but if you can just get guys who buy in, because I've seen that, like when I was with Dallas, you know what I'm saying? The guys that we had, they're not known for strapping or locking anybody down other than Daryl Armstrong. I was young back then, so of course I'm making my way. I know how I play on the defensive end, but Daryl Armstrong was like let me take that back, because Damp was one of those defensive guys. Jopp was one of those defensive guys. I think we had a balance, man, but you know what I'm saying? Josh Howard, Keezy. So we had some solid guys that got after it for sure. So that's the part that for me makes a difference when you got guys that can sit down and do the right things, man. Because that's, to be honest, man, getting a stop, that's what matters, man. This new day and age, man, is ole. I ain't seen nothing like it. And I know everybody says
ole.
Because everybody says, right, this is the argument. The skill set is better. Everybody can do this. Everybody, yes, they can. I'm not going to take that away. Mm-hmm. But fellas, if I watch film with y'all and I show y'all where a guy makes a mistake and this is why this happened, I can point it out to y'all every time.
Absolutely.
Stop reaching. Stop opening up the way that you're doing. Some guys, they ball watch it and they man uncut. Just small things. Small things, bro. Those are the things, and the reason why I'm nitpicking is because those are the things that kept me on the floor during my tenure in the league. Uh-huh. I was the type of guy, I couldn't make that type of mistake. If I was sitting up there playing D on somebody and I looked at the ball and my man went behind me and scored, I'm coming out the game. So how do I stay on the floor? Not for 1 minute. How do I stretch it to 10, 12 minutes when I'm not even supposed to be out there past five? It's because I'm doing the right thing on the floor, minimizing the mistakes. This day and age is they get a bucket, you get a bucket, and we call it a day. That's bullshit.
Well, let me ask you this. How much accountability? Well, I know the answer, but
there's none.
Do we really put on the coaches, though? Because we've seen people. None. And I'm going to use James Harden, for example, because I think he's actually a pretty decent defender when he commits
to it. He can play D. Absolutely.
Wait, that's see, what we argue about that, man.
I keep talking. But okay.
No, when he commits to it, he can play some D, but we've seen countless times him take plays off. Just as you said, he's looking one way, the play is happening behind.
You know what's funny? Do you see these guys do that when they're at the Olympics?
That's a good question.
Yeah, but they do, but they tend to get away with it a little bit more because of the pool of talent.
Do you see them doing that stuff at a high clip with the Olympics? Because at the Olympics, I don't see James allowing somebody, he just ball watching, right? They might have it set up. He might gamble and do some stuff, but at least he'll be way more solid than what he does, you know what I'm saying, during regular season and stuff like that.
I think focus is a little bit different because it's a shorter season when we're talking about the Olympics, and you got a point to prove because now all the eyes are on you. You're expected to walk away with that goal.
So again, you're expected to play the right way because you're getting paid $30 million, $40 million, $5 million, $1 million. No doubt. That's my mentality. I don't know nothing else because if I settle, I don't have a job. I don't have that same leeway as other guys.
Okay.
That's what I know. That's why I'm so heavy on that, because you got to hold guys accountable. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
TJ made a point of calling the Clippers, I guess, the JV version over on the West Coast. But then when we talk about the Knicks and the Nets, that's a little bit different because they're newer to the town, so to speak. But
it's always going to be the Knicks.
New York Knicks town. Right. It's a New York Knicks town. So with them being the JV team, but they have a legitimate chance this year. And then piggybacking off of the defensive, taking plays off where we have guys do that. The Nets this year have taken their lumps as, not being that defensively strong. They've shown spurts where they can be and they commit, but what's your take on that and how do you feel they end up playing this season out?
Well, first of all, the other thing I want you to notice too is that they have their own arena. So at least they in that, you know what I'm saying? Whether they've been New Jersey or Brooklyn, they've been away from New York. There's only one team in the Mecca, and that's the Knicks, period. From the other standpoint, trash. Because they're gonna outscore everybody, bro. I think they know that, and just got to live with it, man. It's no disrespect. KD is honestly one of the better defenders in the league. And then you got everybody else, you know what I'm saying? Like Kyrie is not known for his defense. You know, James is not known for his defense. Blake is not known for his defense. Trying to think, man, a lot of them guys that they have, you know what I'm saying? They're not known for it, but, you know, the coaching staff obviously is doing things in a way we're smart, and they're taking away things when they're playing against teams. They're able to get the stops that they need to get, and then they're scoring at a high clip on the other side. So I'm not mad at what they're doing. Yeah, but it's also by default too, man, because I don't know what they're averaging, the defensive, like from what they're giving up, but I would think is at least 105 to 110 a game on the opposing side. And I don't know if we could look that up or whatever, but I would think that it's pretty high up there. Mm-hmm. Like the 2 years that we won it, I think we were keeping teams to like average out 92 to 94 or something like that.
You guys definitely were strong defensively. There's no doubt.
So, and think about this, right? And to be honest, blame the Detroit Pistons for the NBA changing the way they do everything. They were so damn good defensively.
Was the Bad Boys or the 2000s with Chance and all them? Which team?
Chance. Okay. That deal. They were so damn good, bro, that it changed the landscape of the game because people were bored watching good basketball.
Wow. That's the first time I ever heard that before. That's real.
Think about this, right? How many people complain about the San Antonio Spurs? They're bored watching good basketball.
Yeah. Fundamental basketball. But
guess what happened? They dismantled them teams or whatever. Then all of a sudden, the scoring just started going up. The rule changes, all this and all that. Now you're seeing buckets, because that's what they want. They want the fast pace. They want guys getting up and down. Like, bro, when's the last time you seen a team in regulation score 140 points? It doesn't happen. Now we see that happening more often than none. In four quarters, bro, they're scoring 130, 120, 104, like regularly. And the other team is like 115, 120. This ain't even overtimes or nothing.
Oh, man, that's crazy. I don't see that. Yeah, I think
all of this is new to me. All of this is new to me, bro. And again, it's no disrespect, man. Guys are talented. I get it. The game was played differently. I get it. But there's no onus for real on defense. That's why you have certain guys that stand out when you're like, look at him hustle. Look at the PJs. Look at the Pat Bevs. You know, look at Kawhi. Look at this one. Look at that one. You know, people appreciate guys like that because it's like, man, they're doing it on the other end. Mm-hmm. But we don't see it enough because there's only a handful. And obviously every team doesn't have that guy. People are bored with Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
They joke and they're like, fuck, he getting $200 million for it. But it's like, bro gonna get you 5 blocks, 15 rebounds, and 15 points. That's a solid game. May not be pretty. You don't like it. You know, you can joke Rudy be on all the memes and commercials because he trying his best, but at least he trying.
Definitely. He's keeping his team competitive.
That's for sure. And guess what? They're in the second round.
Yep. So speaking of energy and keeping teams competitive, even though I know you born in Charleston, but you a CP representative. You from the park. We all know that, man. That's the crib for
that's
you.
That's all I know, bro.
Yeah, that's the crib for you. We looked at the turnaround that the Knicks made, and you know, you had your run with the Lake Show. The Lakers was a little bit irrelevant post Kobe, God bless the dead, until Bron came back out there, Bron and AD. Talk about the facts in the A, the energy of the city, and how relevant and viable it is to now have the Hawks back relevant again as well, and especially with the basketball ecosystem. How relevant and importancy is it to have the Hawks, you know, playing good basketball too, just for basketball's sake?
I mean, I just think it's good for the city. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've been going through a lot of ups and downs. But, I mean, obviously, you know, the era of Josh and Al and, you know, those guys, I only played 1 year. But that was a strong era. And then, of course, prior to that was pretty much the Dominique, Stacey Augmon, Mookie Blaylock era. You know what I'm saying?
The Kembe Schmid.
So, yep, all that. So,
okay.
It's just good to see the city on the map like that. And I think it's dope as hell too, to see a guy like Trae Young talk his shit, man, and back it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Youngin got something on his shoulder. The way that that team is gelled together is very, it's a good thing to watch. You know, I just wish that they kept that same energy when the other coach was on deck, because it makes me wonder how y'all went from shit to sugar in like a coaching change. So that means that y'all really was like, pump that. You know what I'm saying? There was a disconnect somewhere. And I've seen guys do shit like that before where it just really ain't vibing. They won't play. And then whatever happens, obviously you're going to get the coach up out of there. Mm-hmm. Ain't gonna speak too much on that, but what I will say is it's good to see them boys active. And, you know, again, they went in there and took care of business today to start it off. So I think the Hawks, man, they got a real shot and a real chance to do some damage in the East.
Got it. Go ahead, Kev.
Teams, as we just talked about, the teams generally win by committee. Locker room community is vital to any team's success. But I want to talk about real quick the importance of community when it comes to 21 Reasons to Give.
I started that 2010. Mm-hmm. It became official, 21 Reasons to Give. And prior to that, I had always been doing community work. I'm just big on giving back. The way that I grew up, things that I went through and saw, I've just always been the type of guy to, you know, give, you know, somebody the shirt off my back or do whatever. I just think it's something that's necessary. You know what I mean? It's not even about the good deeds or whatever. It's just necessary that people pay it forward. And we don't have enough of that. You know, where people are like genuinely coming back. And it doesn't mean you have to do it with your money. You can do it with your time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There are so many ways that you can give back that can be life-changing for people. You know what I'm saying? In some way, shape, or form. If you don't have the time to do it, then do it financially. But if you could do a mixture of both, I think that'll be something that's awesome, man, because it's needed. You know, the youth needs to see examples that come from where they come from. That's the only way that gives them hope and lets them know that they can make it and do something with themselves also. And we have to also be strategic in our messaging when we are, you know, giving back and when we are serving. We have to get back to, you know, loving human beings, no matter their walk, no matter what they've gone through or anything like that. Like, don't look past somebody because they've fallen or because they don't have the same means as you or whatever. Like, really treat people like human beings, give them the love and respect that they deserve, and continue to help build the communities. And hopefully you can get them in a position that they're not in anymore. You know, that's the goal, you know what I'm saying, to really make change. So those are the things that inspire me about 21 Reasons to Give and just being able to do the work that I've been able to do so far.
Treating people like human beings, very, very important. We haven't seen NBA players, at least very recently, and I know this has been going on forever, but we've seen an uptick in some of these incidents lately where these players have been treated like dogs. We've had people throw stuff, you know, we're talking about popcorn bottles getting thrown, spitting, fans running on the court. And you've seen similar acts playing over in the EuroLeague. Let's not kid ourselves. How do they compare and how do we correct this overseas as well as domestically?
My message to the NBA fans over here is you're obviously spoiled and you got it lucky. I know this is not normal behavior because, you know, you hope that the supporters can carry themselves in a much better manner. The shit that we see overseas ain't even close. I've been in brawls myself a few times. I remember one of my teammates got shot in the head with a flare gun. I've seen the bombs going off. I've seen cops beating the hell out of fans in waves, breaking, like we had to clear an arena out one time. And it's funny because on one side of it, like, it's like, man, I don't know why y'all are doing that, because do you want to have another malice? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you want to put it in a situation where somebody knocks your top off and then you want to cry wolf about it? That's the part that's crazy, man. Like, we just coming out of quarantine. They're just letting fans back in, and you're going to ruin the experience for everybody. Don't disrespect people like that. That's my issue with all of this, because at the end of the day, we're men. And I think that, you know, a lot of times, man, these people in certain situations, they take advantage because they know we can't do anything. But would you do that same thing outside of it? No, you wouldn't. I don't think you would. And if you do, then, you know, salute to you. Just be ready for what comes with that. You know, a lot of these people, man. And then the other thing I didn't like, too, is like, oh, well, he's crying. It's just popcorn, or it's just this, or it's just. Disrespect comes in many forms. Like, don't say that, because you know what, when we call our women bitches or hoes or sluts, you know what I'm saying, you notice how the females come out and, hey, don't talk to us like that, you feel me? Well, what do we say? They're just words? No, words mean something. You know what I mean? Like, you can't call somebody out their name. You can't throw anything at another human being. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a feather. Just be respectful, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to be in a day and age, man, where we love one another. We understand what it is. You feel me? But all this disrespect, man, and it's like you treating us like we some entertainment act at the zoo or something like that. Like, that shit ain't cool. You feel what I'm saying? Like, it's not cool. You know what I mean? And I can go deep in on this, man. I just wanted to touch on that real quick, because there's so many videos, man, overseas. They allow boys to get active.
That's what I'm about to say, Mr. Powell. When Bradley Beal said that comment, he coming from East St. Louis. He said, yo, no, these hands work. Like, I don't think these dudes realize where some of y'all are coming from. Like, you could get touched out here. Like, talk about it real quick.
See, and it goes deep, because how about this, right? When you got a product of their environment,
hey,
the people outside of that is going to protect that. So yeah, if this is how those people eat, and you mess with that, you may not have a problem with him, but now you got a problem with some old other people that you don't even know, that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's the thing that I don't think people understand, man, how deep this thing could go, man, because the way guys are moving these days, you know, where they come from, how they grew up. I just don't think it's okay, man. And you know, if I'm not mistaken, You're looking at, I don't think at any one of these instances, I think they were all Caucasian males that did stupid shit.
Absolutely.
And I'm not trying to make it a race thing, but at the end of the day, for me, I look at certain things and it's like, well, what y'all on by doing that? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't have a moment where you just coming and watching a game, because on the flip side, when you're at your job, is somebody disrespecting you or doing you like that? And if they did, I bet you at the first thing you say is, I'm going to sue. Minutes, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, there's two sides to this, man. Like, if somebody came up in your job doing you like that, you're going to call the cops and you're going to get them up out of there. You know what I mean? Like, so I just wish it wasn't that way. I wish we weren't that way as people. I really wish that we could just love and just coincide with each other, man, without all this foolishness, man. You want to go to a game, enjoy the game. You know what I'm saying? You want to middle finger somebody or curse at them, then do your thing, bro, as long as you ain't touching nobody. Don't throw nothing. What if that bottle would have hit Kyrie, man? That thing was coming from a section up.
It's coming.
So you know what I'm saying? Like, that's different, bro, because he tossed that thing. He didn't like he – you know what I mean? Like, you threw that motherfucker with a little intent, because you definitely was trying to do it real quick and then hide your hand afterwards. So I just wish we would, you know, because on the flip side too, man, and I don't mean to be long-winded, it's so much to this, man, and I get frustrated seeing it, because people are like, well, y'all are soft. Okay. You know what I'm saying? That's cool if you want to say that, bro. It's not going to hurt nobody's feelings, man. But then if we act up, you're going to say that we soft because, oh, you don't get no points for beating up a fan or doing this or doing that.
Right.
So it's damn if you do, damn if you don't.
How do we correct this then? Because, I mean, I'm glad that the NBA and the arenas are taking action and, you know, they arrested these people and banned them. But is that enough, like, moving forward?
Nah, that ain't enough.
That's not enough, man, because that's a slap on the wrist, bro. If I go in a strip club and I disrespect a female in there and they just say, oh, you can't come in here, what's to stop me from going in the one down the street? It doesn't do anything. Whenever we do shit, bro, we're losing our life
100%
for the smallest things.
Absolutely.
We're getting locked up and arrested for the smallest things and doing time. So how is it we're not keeping that same energy? Just because you ban somebody, it doesn't mean anything. He might not be able to go to that sporting event, but he'll be able to go to the baseball event. He'll be able to go to the football event. You know what I'm saying? He's going to get season tickets somewhere else. So does that make it right? You go up in the next spot doing something crazy? No, bro. Oh. You know what I mean? And again, it's not a black-white thing, man, but it's like protect the players and fans, make sure they're good too, because, you know, I don't want to see one of the guys do some wild shit. I don't want to see it across the board. We're there to do a job. Y'all are there to watch. Simple. You don't like it, don't come. Simple. You wanna complain, bro? Go online, type in your review or something. I don't know, man. Get it off your chest however you need to, but don't do that, because let's just say somebody didn't hold Westbrook back. What if he would have got the right angle on somebody and took off?
I think these kids must have wasn't in that generation. They must have forgot how Ron was throwing them things up in that section a minute ago. Like, that was Queensbridge finest. I think people, like I said to you, Mr. Pell, I think people don't really understand, like, y'all real dudes coming from real areas, coming from real places.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times, man, people, and especially with the social media era, it's like, Everybody's hard on online or whatever. And it's like, bro, I just came to do my job. You know, all that other stuff, man, it is what it is. Like, and I've played overseas, and that's the other thing too, man. Like, don't disrespect what guys go through internationally. There's guys risking their lives to put food on their table, bro. Mm-hmm. I've seen it myself, man. You got to go to the game. You got to have personal police. You got to have the brigade, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just got to be protected because, man, I'm in Venezuela. They trying to rob us, run up in the gym with the guns and try to get us. And they were stopped on the outside. At Olympiacos, bro, they had to shut down the street on the way to the hotel or on the way to and from games because of how violent it gets. We got snipers on top of our building, bro. Like, they don't play, bro. Like, when people be in, so it's like when you feel like you're always on 10 because you never know. Like, when that brawl broke out in Italy, bro, I'm at that time, and I'm young too, man, it's only 1, 2, 3, it's only maybe 10 black people in the stands with a couple thousand people, all Italians or whatever. And a brawl break out, bro, and these folks coming, bro, you throwing them, dog. You run up, you throwing them, bro. You ain't thinking about nothing. You feel me? And these folks out here throwing water bottles and being like, because you never know, bro. We living in a day and age, man. People coming out shooting shit up. Like, you can't take anything lightly. That's the way I think. You know what I'm saying? I can't speak for everybody else. But I'm always going to be on 10, man, because you just don't know what people thinking, bro. They robbing you at gas stations. You know what I'm saying? They trying to take shit here, do something there. It's just a wild world we live in. And again, it's not because I'm a black man, I'm a target. It's what we're watching. You know what I mean?
Right.
The shootings, Chicago, New York, here, there, bro. You can't even watch a movie.
Go to the grocery store.
Bro, I'm in the movie. Listen, bro, I'm in the movie theater. You know what I'm saying? I stay with me, but it's like I'm sitting in the back. I specifically, when I choose my seats, I get perfect spots so I can see everything, move the way that I need to move, bro. I'm not letting nobody sit behind me. I'm in that last row in the back. And you know what I'm saying? I'm enjoying the movie, but every time I see some light going on and somebody entering, bro, what y'all got going on? All right, cool. You getting in your speed, you getting in your seat? Cool. All right, we're gonna keep watching the movie. Because you can never let your foot off the brake, bro. Like you gotta be alert, man, and with it. And it's sad and it's unfortunate. But that's the way I think. So I can only imagine these guys from different parts of the city throughout the states, man, what they come from, what they grew up seeing. I'm probably sure they probably on the same thing. Just because you give them money, that doesn't change the mentality.
Right. And Mr. Powell, let me ask you this, because you spent time on the sideline of yourself with the Rockets staff. Before the season started, man, you know, a lot of people gave the Brooklyn Nets flack about the hiring of Steve Nash. And we've recently seen that, you know, several openings have already happened this year because they've mutually decided parting ways. Everybody nice, man. We exchanging jerseys and all that now. We can't even tell you somebody getting fired. You just got to mutually part ways. Like in the era that I grew up in, you got fired if you was a bad coach. I say all that to say this. Do you think that, because we've seen the turnaround of what Nate McMillan did, we got so many guys out there with great opportunities, great basketball backgrounds. Why are not more minorities getting these slots? We've seen two non-minorities lose their job, one in Boston, one in Portland. I think there's another one too. But what's your thoughts on hiring processes, and will we see actual minorities potentially go in these slots, or is it going to be the same old?
I think it'll be a slow change. I'm just hoping we can get better with it. And I get it. You know what I mean? I don't have the right answer on why it's like that.
Okay.
I can speculate and say a few things, but it is noticeable. You know what I mean? Like when you think of people that are in position in all major sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish we could get our due diligence, not be the replace after something done happened. Excuse me, and now we get the chance to kind of shine. Now let us be, you know, the starting out factor, and see what we do. You know what I'm saying? And I wish it could be that way without all the other hassle and unnecessary stuff too. But then we also got to make sure that we are in position to do right. So it's a little bit of both. You know what I'm saying? And when you look at certain situations like Derek Fisher, when he got his fresh out, but he went to a team and matter of fact, he kind of killed himself because of that whole, I think that's when all this shit happened with Matt Barnes. Like, so I look at sometimes too, man, just some of the things that go on, bro. We got a shorter leash. And again, I'm not bringing that up for sure. I'm not bringing that up to be on no BS. I'm just trying to think because even when Jason Kidd was head coach, how he ran ship, you know, guys were burnt out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was with Milwaukee on his, second year, I think it was, maybe. Second or third year when he was with Milwaukee. I know he had his stint with Brooklyn. I can't speak for that. He had vets on that team. But when he had them young boys, man, bro, we was up in the gym. Like, that shit was crazy, man. Morning, noon, night. Like, that shit was crazy. You know what I'm saying? Some of the things that were going on and all of that, man. So, I just say, man, we got to stay ready, man. We're more than capable. They just need to keep that same energy across the board. I don't like, because it's all politics. Like, even with me, right? I got a chance to be on the Rocket staff. I didn't have to go through G League. I didn't have to go through some of them summer things or whatever. It was a relationship thing. They offered me the job. You know what I mean? I knew why they did it, but still, it's a relationship thing. So I say that to say, Like, if guys aren't doing it, and if you want to repeat or whatever, or want some new blood, and just be open to it, man. Like, Steve Nash is fortunate, man. You have three Hall of Famers on your first go. That's not normal. But mm-hmm. I will say this too. You know, he's got D'Antoni, he's got Ime. You know, he's got, you know, Ime come from a championship pedigree. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And even though you got, you know, Amari, I don't know who else is on that staff, but
Jacques Vaughn.
Okay, so they were able to put together, you know what I'm saying, a pretty solid situation for him to walk into. Mm-hmm. Steve Kerr, same thing. It's like some of these guys, man, they walk into situations. It's like, bro, you can just sit over there. You can coach from your house if you want to. You know what I mean? Some of these rosters y'all boys is getting. But then it looks crazy when you got Derek Fisher having to start over with a Knicks team or when Larry Drew got his first coaching gig, boy, so much I want to say. But regardless, you know what I'm saying, he got the chance to go to the playoffs. You feel me? We got into the second round. It's just up for guys to take advantage of it or to piss it away. And unfortunately, you know, you hate seeing guys with stories and other stuff that come into the mix. You know what I mean? And then it's like when you see the white coaches get into some situations, that shit gets swept under the rug so quick. It's like, damn. It really gets swept under the rug quick. It's unfair, bro. But it still ain't no excuse because we in position. Just do what you got to do. If it happened for you, cool. And if it don't, cool. Let the other people bring it up.
Got you. Kev, you good?
Straight, bro.
All right. Mr. Powell, we want to thank you so much, man, for being a part of Stoop today and keeping it honest with us. We do got one more quick question for you, man. The late, great Kobe Bryant was so influential. Basketball, non-basketball, life, the Mamba, whatever you want to say. Is there anything that you'd be willing to share with us on how Kobe impacted you as a person, a funny Kobe story? Anything, Kobe, you just want to share with us real quick?
I mean, the legend is true. I'm more grateful than what I had to see and experience as the man, the husband, and the father than I was as the player. Wow. And I was able to learn a lot of things from him through a lot of conversations, just – you know, the wisdom and the knowledge that he shared to be able to help me personally, to help me, you know, in my relationship at the time, or just as a parent, just what to expect, what, you know, what things that he's going through. It was just truly amazing to watch. You know, I got hella stories and a lot of amazing moments, but I just want to salute him as that guy, because I don't think we give him enough when it comes to that. Uh-huh. And I'm not afraid to say it and speak on it, but to watch a guy rebrand himself after all of that stuff that took place, uh-huh. and for him to do things in the way that he did that people aren't even speaking or thinking about that situation, I think speaks volumes of the type of person and the man that he was, and who he became, and how he overcame a lot of stigmas and a lot of stereotypes. So I can't do nothing but salute him. To watch how he did that was truly amazing. That's a hard thing to do. You know what I'm saying? Because that man, him and his family, they were in the news. I'm sure it was a very embarrassing situation.
All day, every
day. But for him to fly back and forth, still putting up 30 and 40, still doing everything that he did, still got another shoe deal, still did this, still did, like, he just kept that shit moving, man. Like, you know how that would have broke other guys, bro? And salute to his wife, dog, like, for sticking by him in that moment. In you know what I'm saying? I got to give Vanessa hers too. You feel me? Like, if we're going to bring it up in that way. Not the way that Gail was trying to do it, or maybe some other people. You feel me? Like, yeah. But it makes me think of that. Like, if I'm going to tell you something, it makes me, that's one of the things I think about when it comes to him. You want to talk about somebody overcoming some shit? Respect. For real.
Well said.
For real.
Well
said.
Definitely. Well, listen, Mr. Powell, once again, we want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to sit down and pull up with us on the stoop. You dropped some real jewels and you kept it candid with us, man. That's all we can ever ask for. Listen, to you and your 21 movement, everything that you do in the community, everything you do to talk to people about mental health. You do so much, man, and it's great to see you, man. We wish you all the best. Hope everything was good with Vegas and the Big Three this upcoming season, man. And once again, we want to salute you. Hey, matter of fact, before we depart, let you go, anything you want to plug or share with our viewers, anything about your programs, anything you got going on in the community, anything you want to have people watch out for, go ahead.
First of all, Big Three, man, make sure y'all check us out. Killer Threes, we back on deck. We coming back with the same squad. So I'm just looking forward to that. Make sure y'all check us out. You know what I'm saying? Season starts July 10th or 11th. It's going to be an exciting year. You know, a lot of really good talent. It's definitely going to be fun. It's a different atmosphere, but make sure y'all check us out. Personally, obviously, we talked about it already. 21ReasonsToGive.org, the foundation, man, the movement. Donate, share, spread the word, double tap, follow, whatever you got to do. Just make sure y'all pull up on us. T-shirtshawty.co is my kids' clothing line. Repping it, rocking it every day, fellas. Follow the Instagram, share it, cop something. I don't care, man. Just, you know, any support is definitely appreciated. But y'all make sure y'all check us out too. And obviously it's my kids, man. I'm just trying to pump, you know what I mean, and get something for them out there. I am working on a book. I'm also working on, well, I'm not working on, but I'm on a podcast, What She Said, with Shanae Hall, her mother. And cannot remember the other young lady's name because we just putting all this together. But I'm the only man holding it down for us, fellas, as we talk about, you know, relationships and all kind of stuff, man. So I'm plugging and working on a lot of different things. And I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to talk about that, man. And you know, again, salute to y'all. Everybody, make sure y'all follow these two kings. Make sure y'all continue to support what they're doing. And again, fellas, thank you.
Thank you, man. Well, once again, man, it's been a special episode with Mr. Josh Powell. For my guy, Kev P, it's been another great episode of The Stoop. Check y'all next time.